Dearly departed, hi Muggles, how y'all doing? We are out in these streets. I am out in these streets because I'm out here protesting. FUCK12, all the way, like straight energy is there. And then I'm gonna say it for real, fuck 12. Some people got some whack ass signs though. I saw somebody said, when I was young, I was 11 and then I turned 12. I was like, I get what you're trying to do, homie. Like, I get what you're trying to do, but you also just said you became 12. Like, stop it. Just stop it. But I appreciate the sentiment. So today I have this amazing human being. It's just amazing. And like, I don't even know him like that, but I got good ass radar. Like, I be knowing when people good or not. Like, my fuckery radar is amazing. Like, ooh, avoid. He is a papa, a parent. I think parents should always get shout outs because these last like 2-3 weeks, I don't know how the hell my parents did this with me. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Ooh. And he has a podcast as well. Fun fact. You blew my mind when I saw the .fm because I was like, yo, this is the fucking internet. Why is this FM? like I stared at it for a good minute. Like, why is it FM? And I was like, maybe they're trying to like emulate the radio, but like, whatever, I'm gonna go with it. It's my guy. Now, do you pronounce it Arc or Eric?
Arc.
See, I be knowing shit. I talked to my homie. I was like, yo, I gotta interview the homie Arc. And he was like, how you spell it? It was A-R-I-K. Like, how you think that shit sound? And then he's like, oh, that's not Eric. I'm like, bruh, Air is A-I-R.
Yeah.
I could have swore we went in here. Like, Avatar The Last Airbender. You're not calling them. Like, come on now, people. But yeah, we got Arg here. Arg is the homie. He's newly the homie. When I called him my homie, they stuck with that shit. I ride for my people. But yeah, he not a mark-ass bitch. So we just going to talk about some random stuff. And to my parents, because I know my parents be listening, I did the whole I'm not going to curse that much thing. I gave it to y'all. I did, like, a couple episodes where I really didn't use that much profanity. But it's over. Like, what you gonna do about it? Ah, I don't even live with y'all no more.
Yeah, you know, I love y'all. My parents too. Damn.
Herc. So I be getting mad personal with my guests because I want to do is just be like,
we're in here,
just vulnerable and be open. Yeah. I got my Compton shirt on today.
I was gonna say if you didn't say it, I was gonna say it. It's like for people who don't know, it's a Capcom shirt, but it says Compton. It's tight.
We out here. Sue me. You ain't getting nothing because I'm for sure going to a protest like, Capcom trying to sue me, I'm black. I also think that somebody was talking to me today. Everybody keep talking to me when I'm trying to do like my interviews. It always happens. The minute I get ready to talk to someone, everybody start hitting me up. I'm like, bro.
You got to throw that do not disturb on.
Yeah, I'm like, yo, like, what is happening right now? But I'm talking to a friend and I'm like, oh, I got this idea. I'm gonna start working on it. I ain't telling y'all the idea yet because I ain't got it full fledged. It ain't even because I want somebody to steal it because you still gotta do the work. I'm never afraid of that. But I'm like, oh, I need to hit up Slack and see if I can get like a free paid workspace. And they were like, oh, that's a good idea. Like, what are you gonna say? I'm just gonna be like, yo, I'm a black dude attempting to make some like changes. And can y'all just give me the fair one? Just like put it on my reparations tab. And they thought I was joking, but I sent the email and I'm waiting to hear back. I'm like, yo, Slack, if you Slack, somebody from Slack, pull up. Just hit me back. Like, you know what, homie? We got you. Black Lives Matter.
But I feel like it's a good chance, to be honest with you, that that comes through.
I'm doing it with everybody. Like, I might go, I opened up a bank account with One United Bank, the black-owned bank.
Yeah.
But I have my other one. I got this Charles Schwab thing going on. I know he owns slaves. Your name, Charles Schwab.
Like, he had to, right? Like, it's a vibe, right?
Yeah.
There's no way Charles Schwab. You couldn't get that rich at that time. You know what I mean? There was no other path.
Like, come on. You know you was doing people dirty.
You had to. You had to.
It's what it is. But
yeah.
I was like, I'm going to have to email them. Like, can I just get, like, some type of cooler account just because I'm black? Like, I'm doing it to everybody. Like, yo, what's the word you're gonna say? No, and then I get to like screenshot it and put it out on Twitter. They not with it. No, I'm just playing, y'all. I ain't out here like that.
Have you had any random people just send you money yet? Because that has happened to friends of mine.
I got $100 on what's that? What's the homie that's trying to move to Africa? Jack Dorsey, the Square.
Yeah, Square Cash, right?
Yeah, so I got $100 and I immediately was like, fucking feds. Like, immediately was like, one, did not know who the person was. Like, two, I'm like, okay, it's hard to like mistakenly send me my like cash name is like,
yeah, Lord, are you out D here with your cash?
No, yeah, like it's that? Like it's like, not
like, like, you know, because some people are like, just here you go, just throw it in right at, yeah, whatever.
I'm shook with that, like, yeah. I'm like yeah, something happened, but I got the $100 and it just went to my account. And I like look like, where the hell I get $100 from? And I'm like one of those people who I love to know where every penny I have is.
That's
so nice. I'm like looking at my little spreadsheet and stuff, like, yo, where did I get $100 from? And I just cannot figure it out. And then finally I like open the Cash App because I got a reminder to be like, oh, check these apps, because my ass has left hundreds of dollars in Apple Pay wallet before. Just like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, they getting all that interest off.
Yeah, yeah, it's not about that interest. They want you to not notice.
They do. So I look, yeah, and I'm just like, I don't know who this, I'm not gonna say the name because they probably won't be private, but I'm like, why the fuck they send me money? And I was torn, like, do I do the, like, hey, because it's like a friend of a friend of a friend, like this weird, I call them satellite friends, like we know each other, but you're just in the orbit.
You might run into each other at some
point. Yeah, and like, I could at least be like, oh, hey!
Hey, thanks for the money.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's weird. I was trying to figure out, like, one, I don't even remember, like, having this person's number, and then I looked at the phone, didn't. And I'm like, so, how do I, like, it was a whole thing where I just stared, like, you know what? I'm just gonna count my blessings and go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm not gonna say, I don't think it's for me to decide whether it's cool or not cool, but like, it just feels like a very weird way to manage this whole situation. Like, it just seems like a little too ad hoc. You know what I mean? Like,
like it's like the Jeff Bezos way of just like ending racism.
Like, just random deposits of very random amounts of money. By the way, you called me out for the .fm. And I'm totally fine with that. But I just want to point out that is the country code of the Federated States of Micronesia.
Yo! Yeah. Oh, that shit just blew my mind right now. Like, I'm about to like, text like 12 people, like, hey, you know .fm? Like, and they're going to look at me like, your ass would know that for some reason.
Yeah. Right? And a lot of podcasts use it. And I get why, because, you know, it's like that kind of thing. It's like, you know, the way that, like, I don't know if you remember when the Apple Podcast app came out, it was like a reel to fucking reel.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
It's like that same vibe. Yeah. So we're definitely, like, falling into that vibe. Yeah. You know what I mean? But, like, I kind of like the fact that we're just throwing that cash to the Federated States of Micronesia.
I love it. I hope they eating out there. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We got another one, y'all.
That's right, because I don't know what their GDP is, but... it's got to be a lot
it's
of it.
All from
it's all from the TLB. Just tech nerd podcast.
All right, folks, if you don't know what TLD is, it's your www. Like, your,
yeah, that's
there
right.
You go, y'all. Because
V's an actual IT professional. I am not an IT professional. I did work in IT briefly. I didn't enjoy
it.
I'm glad
you made
it
out. I'm glad you made it out.
No, dude, it was at a law firm.
Hold up.
In a wealthy, overwhelmingly white St. Louis, Missouri suburb.
Oh, shit.
I was out there one day wearing Republicans for Voldemort shirt. You remember that shirt?
Have
you
ever seen that? Okay, I got to hit you with this one, though. It's Voldemort. The T is silent.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was wearing a Republicans for Voldemort shirt. I was in this place in Missouri, and this older white man saw me and read the shirt and I guess didn't know what Harry Potter was and was like, kind of had like a double take for a second. Like, he saw me and he was like, you don't seem like you would be a Republican. You know what I mean? And then he was like, cool, man. You know, like, he gave me like the old white dude sign of approval.
No.
And I'm like, oh shit.
I'm trying to hold my laugh in because it's like I can perfectly visualize it.
Yeah.
Like that. Like, ooh.
So yeah, that IT job was not. Like, God. I'll be honest with you. I didn't really enjoy it. I had to wear sweaters.
IT is tricky. IT is fun. Like, I don't know if I necessarily stumbled into it.
Yeah.
But it's more so I love interacting with people. And
yeah, you give that vibe.
Personally, felt like tech was the best way for me to just get to a better position in life.
Yeah, for sure.
I was like, oh, this is interesting. This whole internet thing seemed to be popping. Like, maybe I should learn something about it. Like, let me figure out something about how all these millions and billions of people are able to connect and do things. Because
I just always saw it as just like a way to actually get some type of freedom. Because it was just like the way you get on like the IRC chats and what rooms and whatnot. I was like, okay, like I like this. Like,
yeah. Plus, I think mostly being good at IT is about like getting over fear in mm-hmm. a lot of ways. Because it's just like your average person is just afraid to fuck with a computer.
Yeah, you know, just like click the button.
Yeah, it's like you're not. Maybe you'll break something. Like, who cares? Like, it'll be okay.
Yeah, I'm
like,
you
know what I mean?
Who did anyone die?
Yeah, you're not connected. That's the thing. You're probably not working in any technology that like is that level of seriousness. So like,
yes.
You're gonna fuck it up. Like, it's cool, and then fix it, and then you'll eventually.
Yeah, I remember because if you work in remotely in tech at all, especially I can only speak for Black people. I speak for all. Fuck it, I'm talking for all the Black people right now.
Sure, you live your life.
When you're the Black tech dude, yeah. It's a wrap for you in your family life. Everybody calling you, everybody texting you.
Oh yeah. Hey,
my iPad, I dropped it. But see, like, it's like a different type of thing because you can't really be like telling your elders a certain way, like, nah, I'm busy. Like, that shit don't mean time, don't mean anything to old Black people.
Yeah, that's true. in my community, too, though. Yeah. I'll say this, it's not just Black people,
it's just like, god damn, and they got like this spice to it. Like, I was about to go, I'm getting ready to go protest. Yeah. My uncle hit me with some, hey, before you go out there and go change the world, I need you to get this HBO thing on my iPad. I'm like, fam, like, priorities, my G. Like, priorities. Yeah,
he's like, I'm trying to watch Wyatt Cenac, and I need like, that shit on the go. Like, come on now.
He's like, oh,
make this shit happen.
You can do your Freedom Fighter thing, but like, you know, I need my Wire, my Sopranos. I'm like, my guy. You ain't gonna be able to watch this shit if I don't get out there. Like, and he was dead serious. Like,
it's so real.
I had to wait. I had to, like, I was like, hit my homie was like, yo, I'm gonna be like 20 late because I gotta like reset the Apple ID password. And I got like, yeah, but it's fun. I enjoy it. It's a cool thing.
Yeah. My uncle hit me up and he was like, now that you have so much more free time.
Like, how you know?
First of all, right. Second of all, I have a baby, sir. Like,
don't worry about that. Don't worry about
that. He's like, I saw that y'all are working from home. That's what he said. He's like, I saw y'all are working from home. So now that you have all this extra free time, this is what I need you to do for me. And I was just like, uncle.
Most of the time, that's all you can do is just to say the name or like their relation to you, so your brain can continue to process. Just like, mom, like, my moms would call me. It don't fucking matter. I could be in an interview with President Obama. My mama calling, and it's like, shit, like it's immediately like the even when I see an M on my phone, like it's just like, oh, like we gotta get right, y'all. Like we gotta get ready, and I answer real quick and just like, hey, what up, chicken? And she will just start like, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like,
hello,
mom, I'm with the president. Okay, like,
yeah, but I need to take care of this.
It's like, all right, hold on.
My mom does that, but the one thing she does that is different, though, I've never heard anyone else have this experience, is that my mom thinks that if I'm not calling her, it means I'm happy.
You know, I think your mom and my mom might need to be.
She's like, so the only problem with that, though, is that she calls me when she wants to and she wants something, you know, for sure, like you're saying, and it doesn't matter what I'm doing or what's going on. But if I call her, she just assumes something's wrong. Like, she's like, so what's the problem? And I'm like, damn, can I just call to say hello? Yeah. Like, I haven't talked to you for a while. I am the father of your grandson. Yeah, like, I might just be calling to say, hey.
Yo.
Like, she's right, though. The problem is she's right.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. Like, my parents be just so right. Like, both of my moms, like, they so accurate. Because they just, I don't know, it's that mother's intuition, I guess. Like, it just has to be that. Because I just call my mom just to, like, hear her voice and just say something. Like, my mom's mad funny. Like, let me read a real text.
Yes, please do.
This shit, my mom. So, like, I'm born and raised in Compton, and we got gangs. Like, it's L.A. That's what it is. Like, it ain't good. It ain't bad. It's just what it is. And a real text from my mom is a retired police officer.
Oh, damn. Okay.
So she hits me up, and it makes it even more funny because neither
her or myself really say the word, the N-word, but like I give myself 10 a year. And so far this year has made me, I'm down to 4 now. No, I'm down to 5. Hold on, let me check my, yep, I'm at 5. Like I got like a full, like I check them off and this year, man, woo, and they don't roll over. So it's like, damn. So my mom's hit me. Over.
You got to use them by
you
the
gotta, end. You got to use them or lose them.
Okay.
So it's what? It's 10:52 yesterday. I'm chilling and I just see a text. Hey, V, hit a nigga up when you ready. And I'm looking at my phone. I'm like, who the hell just like, wait, hold on. And now I'm like, wait, somebody got my mama phone. Like, but they know my name. So it got me someone I know. And I'm like, wait, my name is in her contact. So like, who the fuck got my mama phone? I got her Apple ID password. So I immediately like open Find My Device up and I'm like looking and I'm pinging it. And then I look at the where the device is, and it's at her house. And I'm like, yo, who in the house? Like, oh, hell no. They in the house. So now I'm over here getting ready to get ignorant. I'm putting clothes on. I'm calling my pops. And then she was just like, why my phone keep making this buzzing sound? Because that's me pinging to find my... And I'm like, that was you? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, yeah. No. Like, you can't just be hitting. Like, she... My mom would just do some random stuff like that. Or she's like,
2020,
hey,
my dude.
Yeah,
this is what 2020 is doing to people.
Her neck, I'm like, all right, I'm on my way, cuz. Cool, just make sure you get some EJ for me on, when you get here. Like, what? Like, mom, stop. Like, I can't see you this way. He's like, no. You're a wholesome little lady. Like, stop it. Don't use this language with me. It made my day. How old's your son?
My son is 8 months old.
Oh, he a baby, baby.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, he little. Yeah. Yeah, man. It's all about like, he's like both getting me through this, but also fucking me up. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Well, you know what I'm saying though? Cause I'm like
crying.
Well, no. Them. Yeah. That true. That too. But I'm like, okay, we're out here trying to make the world a better place for everybody, specifically for black people, but for everybody. And I'm like thinking like, okay, I need to teach this dude not to suck.
And right? Then that weight lands on you.
But at the same time, we're brown people. I also need to teach him that he is also going to be.
Yeah.
Like he's in that middle position. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I need to teach you to be cool, but I also need to teach you to be cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like it's that weird double-edged sword. Like yesterday, I had a good moment of just crying because Rashad Brooks. Yeah, that's the name I'm saying. Probably man got killed.
Yeah,
fell asleep in Wendy's drive-through, and it was wild because the day started off real good for me. Like,
okay,
listeners know, like I have dealt with pretty severe depression my entire life, so it's always this thing to where like I wake up and I'm generally
if you have
feeling,
that good day.
Yeah, you like whoo, like
I know
man.
That feeling. I've had depression too. I know that feeling. It's like, just, we're doing it today. Okay.
I mean, I cleaned my apartment up.
Oh,
like,
that's a good, you know you're doing well.
Yo, I was out here with the Swiffer, like just killing it. And then I'm putting like, I'm a huge art lover and collect as much art as I can. I'm putting artwork on the wall. I'm like, God damn, like the music hitting different. I threw my beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy on. I had it was right. Then we had the playlist going. 444 came up, then the Blueprint came on next. And then mom's like, oh, I'm cooking today. I'm like, this shit is the day. Like, this is hidden. I'm like, I need to do some laundry anyway, get to mom's crib. And I remember hearing about it, but it wasn't this thing that like really kicked in. And then I get in the crib and then I look at my mom and she just looking pissed. And I'm like, oh shit, what'd I forget? You see me like, damn, like, I know I forgot something.
Yeah.
She looks at me and it's really, really tricky because my mom has multiple sclerosis and like autoimmune disease, and I have been protesting. So I've like purposely self-quarantined myself. I'm like, I want to see my parents.
Yeah. And
we go through like a whole back and forth. And I'm like, nah, I'm not there. Like, going to come over. So we do the process. We got like a whole system. I'm like changing my clothes when I get there and everything so she doesn't have anything happen to her. I'm looking at her now like, yo, why are you looking like this? I'm pissed off. Like, my mom's hurt. I got to burn the world down. And she's like, oh, no, nothing. Changed her mind. I'm like, okay, now you're going into, like, protect child mode. And I'm like, all right, what's happening? She doesn't say anything to me for the most part. And then day goes by. I'm washing clothes and stuff. And then I, like, happen to just see the news, and I see the video play.
And she like immediately turns the TV on and she's like, nope, I don't want you seeing this. And I'm like, nah, like, hold up, what's this? Then I like finally see it and I just erupt. Just like, I can't do this. Like, I just can't handle this. Like, this is just too much. So I'm on my like full flares, like, we blowing this up. I'm blowing it all up. And as someone who grew up with a parent who's a police officer, I have cousins and uncles who are still police officers. It's like this huge, just mind-bending thing to where you're like, yo, my fellow black relatives are out here and they're getting the heat from what people that they riding with are doing. When I know damn well ain't none of them with that. And it was just this thing where I left, finally left, like, and she's like, wouldn't, like, nope, you sleep me ass here because I don't know what you go do. You angry. And I'm like, nah, mom's like, I'm just gonna go to my pop's house and just, I gotta talk to pops. And my pops is hilarious, very unique man. And if you haven't seen Avatar Last Airbender, there's...
Oh, no, I'm very, very into Avatar
the Last Airbender. Like, Uncle Iroh, like, my pops has hit this, like... Yeah, he's hit this, like, Uncle Iroh
first
level.
Two seasons with the real dude, like, not that bullshit, not the replay... That was really questionable. I don't know if we could talk about that, but like that was really, they hired, that is really questionable.
I was disrespected. I was deeply disrespected by that move. It's like, oh, so we're doing bullshit now. I was like, okay.
Yeah, okay. You're just doing this voice. Okay. That's offensive.
I was so mad.
Okay.
I was so mad.
Anyway. Yeah.
So he's at this point in life where he's like very much like that. And my pops is, he's had a colorful ass life. He's had a wild ass life, to say the least. And I don't know if my mom's like text him or whatnot because my birth parents were never married. I don't know, like, what it was, but we were, like, talking. My sister, I, like, got, like, her 38th bachelor's degree. Shout out. What's up, Boopy? Congratulations again. Like, she got, like, degrees on degrees on degrees. I'm like, God damn, she's smart.
My family's like that, too.
Yeah, I'm definitely not.
It ain't me.
Yeah,
ain't
same, me. Same. Like, nah, I'll pass on that. Like, I'll just keep doing this thing. Like, Python. So we're, like, celebrating her and just chilling. Everybody's having a good time. They drive me crazy singing karaoke. And we just start talking, and my pops does these, like, wow metaphors. And, like, I don't even know what the metaphor was this time, because like, I was just seeing red. And then he just, like, hit me with this just deep, like, son, you angry? I'm like, hell yeah, I'm angry. Like, I am pissed off. Like, I really want to wild out right now.
Yeah.
And it didn't even make sense at the time, but somehow calmed me down. He was like, it's okay to be angry. I'm like, I know it's okay to be angry. Like, you ain't got to fucking tell me that. like, I know. And I know he's being a parent, and I can feel his love, like, coming. I can see that he's hurt that he can't, like, make me feel better.
Yeah.
And there goes a black man himself who's dealt with far worse with the police than I have. Yeah. And my uncles are talking to me, too, and I'm just mad at everything. And then he just says something. He's like, what you gonna do with that anger? I was like, I'm gonna blow this shit up. And he's like, okay, then what's that gonna do? Because you know what I'm gonna do after that. Like, I ain't gonna be out here at a news conference talking about you. Like, I let your moms do that. Like, you know what I'm gonna go do. And I'm like, whatever. That ain't the point. Like, I'm pissed. And he's like, you know what you do with the anger? I'm like, what? He's like, you take that anger and you use that anger to read every goddamn book you can. Get all the knowledge you possibly can. And that's how you beat them. And then I was like, sat down for a minute, like, oh, wait, that kind of makes sense. Like, this is weird that you're telling me to read, but the more I like driving home and I'm just thinking like, damn, I get what he's saying. Like, no, you need to continue to soak up this knowledge because that old cliche, knowledge is power. He's like, that's what's going to help you. Like, it's like, I know it's not what you want right now, but you're not thinking logically. And my father is a huge person of like, get the emotions out, but then get your butt back. Not logic. Like, this is how you will be able to do it. And it just hit me. It just caught me off guard. I just think like something that simple is just like, use that anger to fuel you to gain all the knowledge you can, and that will equip you to better be able to deal with this and to navigate and beat it. And I was like, shit.
But that's awesome though, because like I remember like I got really mad at my dad, and I used to get into a lot of like fights where I was mad at him for not being as angry as I was about certain things.
I feel you. I mean? Preach.
And I was just like, what the fuck, Dad? Like, this is messed up. Like, what? You're being treated like this. I'm being treated like this. What the fuck? Like, you know, I'm really, really angry. Mm-hmm. I'll always remember this. One time we were having this fight about something, and my dad was just like, listen, man, when I was your age, I was also as angry as you are. And it's not that I'm not angry now, because I am, but I don't have the energy. I'm fucking tired.
Yeah.
And I just at some point, and he was like, at some point I just had to move on and be like, okay, I'm going to take care of my family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to like do whatever I need to do. I'm just tired of the fighting the same
thing
over and over and over again. And it really hit me. And I was like I couldn't be mad at him about it, but I was also like so sad for him. You know what I mean? I was just like, fuck, like that's so real. Like you burned out. Like you, all this fire in you got like, it just exploded and had nowhere to go. Like nobody gave a fuck. Like you couldn't do anything with it. You know what I mean? And it's just like, man, that's so real. I feel like your dad's advice is like really good though. Like just like, take that and do the things they don't want, because they don't want you to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like he figured out.
They want you to do the thing you want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
like, you know what I mean.
It like all clicked. I was just like, oh
yeah.
Shit.
I have two other things that I wanted to say about what you said, because you said a bunch of cool shit, and I wanted to like comment on it. Well, one of them's not cool at all, to be honest with you. It's just that my sister's mom also had multiple sclerosis, so I know what that's like. So.
Yo, it is a wild thing.
That shit is crazy because people don't know, and it's like plateaus, right?
Yeah, it's
like,
and it's invisible.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's so wild. Like, it's so crazy. And, like, the changes happen really fast, and then they last. And then, like, you are on that plateau for, like, a long-ass time. And it's just like,
I'm back.
I'm really sorry for you, man. That sucks.
It's wild. She OG, though. That's my OG. Like, she, yeah. I don't know how that woman has the strength that she has to raise my
wizard amazing
wizard ass. And because I was wild. Yeah,
legit, right?
Like, I'm like, damn, how you deal with me? Shit. Like,
other thing I wanted to say was about the fact that you were talking about how you have all these police in your family. And I just think like that's so interesting, because I think that's not like uncommon for a lot of Black families have people, members of the cops in their family. And if we think about that, that's so fucking twisted. It's like, and this happens all the time. Like they create a system and then, but then that's like the only job they'll, it's like so hard to get a job. And then that's the job you get pushed to. And then they hate on that job. And I think about, I'm Middle Eastern, and I'm a Jewish Middle Eastern person. And the history of Jews specifically is like, in Europe, they thought that money was sinful.
Yeah.
Right. So they wouldn't, Christians weren't allowed to lend money to each other. That was considered, right? So the only people they would let do it were the lowest people in their society, which were the Jews that were living there. Right. So the Jews took on this job that no one else wanted, this dirty work, the equivalent of like modern day jobs we still don't want to, people in power don't want to do. So they took on this job. Then over a long period of time, money became really important.
Yep, and they turn around and they're like, treasure.
Y'all control everything. Y'all got all this money. Y'all running the banks. And it's like, you wouldn't let us do any other job, and now you're mad at us that we're doing the job that you made us do.
Just send them that Cameron gif. You mad? Like, you big mad. Like, you mad.
Cameron. He got shot and he got a paper cut, and it was a hard day.
Yeah, like kept pushing, moving through. That's the thing that's so fascinating to me, especially. So let's see, all kind of weirdly mixed. And I annoyingly did 23andMe at first before, like, I was into reading fucking privacy.
I did it too. Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I actually did that and Ancestry.com.
Yeah, so I didn't
double fucked.
I was like, whoa, hold on. And then
I think it's all Mormons, right? It's all.
Probably, Mormons, they got like a huge fund of like billions
of
dollars.
They're very into genealogy, and I don't know why. That's not a conspiracy.
Because there's so many of them. They're trying to make sure that like they keep it all clean and right and whatnot. I'm like, do your thing.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I'm not hating.
Anybody that wants 38 wives, bless your heart.
Ooh, that's a lot of work. I got one wife, and that's a lot of work. So
I have none, and I'm like, "Ooh, shit!" I'm shooting my shot, and it's just like, "Damn, like this is tough." But
so you did 23andMe?
I did that, and it like came back, and I'm what? It's like 48% African, and then like 22% white, and then the rest was Native American and Persian. I guess what they would consider Persian or whatnot.
Okay,
and like the European. It was mad confusing. As someone who's like attempting to learn more about Jews or Jewish people, that shit is confusing. I'm like, because
I'm here.
I ran into like one person, and I was up in like Jew area in LA, right down on Fairfax, all over there, and like at the Hasidic Jews. And I'm talking to this dude who's like actually talking to me. I'm like, oh shit, bad. Like, we cool. And then I was like, yo, so if you Jewish, and he was like, I'm not Jewish. I was like, you got the whole fit on, my G. Like, hey, you got this big ass wool coat, and it's like 95.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Then what? He's like, I'm a Jew. And I'm like, all right, I need you to break down.
Oh.
He caught me off guard. I was like, well,
You caught me off guard. Okay. He's a Jew, but he's not Jewish.
Yeah, I was like, I don't really know how this works right here, my guy.
Okay.
We kept talking, and then he said something that I later on feel like I understand better. He's like, well, I'm like, I'm kind of like that, or like, I'm not really, like, I'm somewhat.
For him, it was like a percent. He's like, no, I'm 100%. I'm not ish.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm getting from it.
That's,
I'm like,
fascinating.
I'm like, oh. Okay.
Okay. You going hard. Okay.
Yeah, like, I'll rock with you.
Okay.
So that's the thing that's always stuck with me. It's like, when do I say Jewish or Jew? Like,
yeah, that's a really good question. So the trouble here, my wife is not Jewish and or Jew. She's neither one. She's not even Jewish, you know. My wife is half German, half Turkish, and grew up in Germany. So she's German and Turkish. So she marries me and she wants to understand some more shit about people that are Jewish. And we've been together for a long time now, and it's an ongoing process of me trying to like explain shit to her and like other people trying to explain shit to her and stuff like that. But I remember at one point I asked my mom, as you do, you know, like, hey, can you help with this?
It's just hard, mom.
Yeah. And my mom wrote me back and she's like, I was thinking about it. She's like, and my mom is a, we can get into my mom. My mom is a super interesting lady. She was a linguist. She speaks like mad languages.
Yo, I got to holler at your mom. I'm writing a science fiction story and I want to make a language.
Right on. And now she's, but she like switched. She got bored of that. She was like a professor.
How you get bored of being a linguist? Like,
yeah, so now she's now she's an immigration attorney who does like asylum cases pro bono. Anyway, my mom's cool as shit. So anyway, she was like, I'm at my desk. She's like, I looked at my bookcase and she's like, all I see on my bookcase are books trying to explain who Jewish people are to other Jewish people. So if we don't even know how to explain it to ourselves, I'm not sure how you're going to explain it to her.
Yeah, that's big facts.
But I'm here and I could talk about it. So I'm guessing what you were about to say is that like in that European part was something about being Jewish. And then you're like, what the fuck's that about, right?
Yeah, so I am.
I can explain that one.
It was like that 22%, 19% of it. Was it Ashkenazi Jewish? Yeah, and then the rest is British. The rest of there.
That's less exciting. But
I got a fire mix. It's like Nigerian, Ghanaian, yeah. Moroccan, yeah. And then and then I got the Persian joint.
Both sides.
15% Persian, rounding up.
Yeah,
15% Native American. I knew because on my birth mom's side is like mad Native American people. So okay. I'm like, yeah, great here. We got
it's
this.
Pretty common if your family's been in the United States for long enough, especially if you're black. Like,
yeah,
Native American
is going to be that. And then, white and just the Jew. And
so let me explain the Jewish part specifically from the perspective of 23andMe, because I feel like this is very confusing. If you dive into 23andMe's explanation for what they're doing, the problem here is that the Jews do not fit into what they are doing for other population groups.
Yeah.
We're the original diaspora community, right? That's where the term comes from.
Yes.
So the way that 23andMe does it is that they say, we picked an arbitrary point in history. And wherever it is likely that the majority of the people we are calling that group were living at that moment, that's where we're going to put it. So if you think about that, African Americans have been in this country 400 years.
So we just need to have the shit here. Like, yo, my guy.
No one's saying like, oh, you're not African anymore.
Yeah. Right?
So the Ashkenazi Jews, so when you break down the Jewish community into like the three main, like every other community, it's not a monolith.
Yeah.
But people on the outside obviously know less than people on the inside, right? And if you break down Jewish communities, some of the top level terms you'll hear is Ashkenazi, Sephardi,
yeah.
Mizrahi, right? Those are not ethnic designations. Those are locations. So
thank you, Google.
The diaspora happened and people went different places. So the diaspora started because we were all living in the Middle East and then the Romans kicked most of us out.
Yeah.
So some people stayed forever. Some people went to nearby countries like Iraq, Iran, Yemen, Morocco, Tunisia, Algeria, you know, all the countries you might consider today to be Middle Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
And then those are called the Mizrahi Jews. Mizrahi in Hebrew means Eastern. So those are the people who stayed in the East.
I got a homie, Dave Mizrahi.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Right. So then you have the two other major populations were the Ashkenazi Jews and the Sephardic Jews. The Ashkenazi Jews are the ones who went to Central Europe.
Yeah.
And called it Ashkenaz. And then because of biblical beliefs. Mm-hmm. And then Sephardic are the ones who went to the Iberian Peninsula. So Spain and Portugal.
Portugal, yeah.
But the Sephardic Jews were kicked out in the 1490s, like right, actually the same year as Columbus left for to go discover a place that already had people living in it.
Our, the only Christopher we acknowledge is Wallace.
Oh, I'm down. I like, have you seen that thing? Like push that statue in the ocean and let him discover,
yes!
finally discover someplace.
Anyway. Yes, yeah.
So the Jews get kicked out of Spain and Portugal and most of them go back to the Middle East.
Okay.
So they go to Turkey. They go to basically anywhere in the Ottoman Empire, Israel, what, you know, wasn't called Israel at the time, but Palestine, mm-hmm. Turkey, wherever. And they merge with the Mizrahi population and kind of create this like one group that like the traditions kind of meld. Mm-hmm. But like they have their own language, like Yiddish called Ladino. Mm-hmm. Then you got Yiddish. So the Ashkenazi Jews are the ones that were living in Europe, but they weren't intermarrying very much.
Mm.
And if you think about it, it's pretty obvious as to why.
Yeah.
It was a time of arranged marriages, super not popular with people.
Yeah.
They spoke a different language. There were laws against this shit, right?
Yeah.
Like, just like there were in the United States between black and white people. Like Jews weren't even citizens of any of the countries they were living in. We didn't even have last names.
Yo, like, I read that maybe, I want to say a month ago, just because now I'm like so deeply like, oh, this shit is like damn near a quarter of me. Like,
yeah,
I want to learn more about, like, yeah. I want to know more about this. And yeah. It's just been like a fascinating thing. Like, damn, they just been fucking with people. Like,
yeah. So, and then people don't even realize, like, people think about the Holocaust, right? And the Holocaust was the big bad, right? Mm-hmm. But like pogroms and massacres mm-hmm. and all that stuff were constant. Like, I was on a podcast a little while ago about Fiddler on the Roof. A movie podcast, they invited me on to talk about Fiddler on the Roof. And hold up, let me see if I could quickly pull this up because I looked up something because I wanted to tell them. Okay, yeah. In 1905, which is when Fiddler on the Roof takes place, there were massacres in 64 towns and 626 villages, and the single largest one killed 2,500 people.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So, like, no. It was just it was constant. Right. From 1881 to 1884, there were more than 200 massacres just in Russia.
Damn. Right? So like, and you like, never hear anything about that.
You never hear anything about any of this. So if you fast forward to the modern time, the Ashkenazi Jews mostly came to the United States mm-hmm. and to Israel and stuff. And because we don't have because diaspora populations are misunderstood, it's like, oh, they're from Europe. And it's like they are from Europe. In a sense,
yeah, like,
right?
Kind
of. I like to say it's not the same because, of course, there was mostly not slavery involved. But I like to say that some Jews are European in the same way that some Africans are American.
Yeah. I dig that. Yeah. I dig that.
And just like that situation, there was some intermarriage, mm-hmm. right? Which is why you see a lot of different looking people,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I think they calculated, they've done a lot of genetic studies because it's a small population and for various reasons, they've biblical interests.
Yeah. So
there've been like a lot of genetic studies on Jewish people. And what they found is that like all Jewish people in the world are more similar to each other and other Middle Eastern people than we are to other people we were living around.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're from an Ashkenazi Jewish family, there's going to be some intermixture. Like you're going to have some percentage.
Yeah.
It doesn't show up on 23andMe. I did mine. I'm 100% Jewish. Thank you. In my particular case, my situation is a little bit more even complicated because we used to have we still do technically, but it's not really as big a deal anymore. But we have a caste system.
Mm-hmm.
And I come from the highest caste.
No, hey, man's up here at the top. Oh, my man's out here with the gold but Bentley. He got a rape.
There were
everybody.
Even more strict rules about who we could marry.
I don't know how people do it. I just don't. Like, I got trouble listening to the police. I got a problem when motherfucking police tell me something. Like, I can't imagine where it's like, you can't marry this person. Like, do you
yeah,
see her?
Well, it's different. It's a different. Yeah, for sure. For real. But so like, if you look at the Jews in the world, the reason we're called Jews is because most Jews come from a tribe called Judah.
Yeah.
Right. But I don't. I mean, I guess I have to, but that's not how it works in our particular. Well, in our system.
That was about to be my next question. Like, wait, hold on.
Well, because in our system, if you're part of this other tribe, it's considered to be 100%, even if it's not. You know, tribes are a different vibe.
Right? Like, yeah.
Like, so I come from the tribe of Levi, which is the only other tribe that, so there were originally like 13 tribes. Mm-hmm. Most of them are lost or whatever, whatever. Some people claim to be from those tribes, whatever, whatever. But like the two tribes that are still in the world today are the tribe of Judah, which represents 96% of Jews. And then the tribe of Levi, we're out here with the 4%. So, and we were the priests.
Mm-hmm.
We were the high priest. And that's even subdivided, but I'm even on the top of that. I'm what's called a Cohen. But not everyone with the last name Cohen is actually a Cohen. There's like a gene they found. It's all fucking... And by the way, none of this fucking matters. I mean, you know, genetics is interesting.
It's just cool.
Sometimes
yeah.
I get accused of being like, why are you putting so much faith in genetics? And I'm not. I just find it really fucking interesting.
Yeah, it's fascinating as hell to like go about and just see. Because to me, it tells a lot of history. It tells so much. Like looking at me, people just go, oh, there goes a black dude. But it's
right,
like
totally
more non than I am black. And it's
but
like,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's like that thing where like it don't fucking
matter.
Matters, but and then like matter. The scheme of what people just look. That's why I'm a big fan of like, I wish it was like not race, because I don't, race is some made up shit. Like if it was like nationality or like ethnicity or something, like that
so we
shit
just
is
covered
so dope
this,
to me.
The next episode of Fun Fact, which is not out yet, but we just did it. I did a topic that I was very scared to do until now. I've been like, it's been on my topic list. I have like a long list. So my podcast, for those, everyone who doesn't know, me and my friend who's European Canadian.
Alan, right? Alan Pike.
Alan,
yeah.
Alan Pike.
Hey, right. Alan, shout out, player.
Yeah. So I call him up and we just tell each other, we both like we're like, you know, that Wikipedia fiend. And we both just like tell each other like random ass goofy shit we learned recently. Usually it's funny. Sometimes it's not funny, but it's often like just some weird fact we learned recently about something. Some story we learned, some crazy shit. Like a couple episodes ago, I told this story about how there was a guy who tried to do a fraud where he claimed to be the Baron of Arizona, and then he owned all of Arizona, and he almost got away with it.
Damn.
So it's shit like that.
I hope they,
you know.
I hope they pull it off next time.
Yeah, for real. But so one of the topics that was very high on the list that Alan, we used to have a shared topic list, and he saw that one. He's like, oh, you got to do that one. And I'm like, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm never going to fucking do this until I just did on the next episode. But the topic is, what is whiteness?
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. I can talk about whiteness all goddamn day.
Right. And what I talk about is the fact, which is that whiteness is an identity that was invented by Europeans only for the purpose of justifying slavery and colonialism. It has no reality except to be oppressive. It has no fixed definition. It's changed over and over again. People have sued the U.S. government to get included.
Yep.
People have won and lost those lawsuits. It is not even consistent inside whiteness. Like the Nazis believed that Slavs weren't really white. The other people have believed like originally it was like only European, like only German and British people were white. Like even like Irish people weren't white.
Yeah, you think like people come here. One of my homies is Irish and he like does not identify as white. Like he just like, I am not white. And I remember talking to him like when I first
I feel
met
like
him.
A ship on that one kind of shit.
Say yeah, like, I was just like, my guy. But I remember when we first met and we were talking and drinking and just laughing and whatnot, and he started talking about it. He's like, because when my people like came over here, the motherfuckers hated us, like they treated us like shit and stuff.
And that's true.
I'm like, good point, but y'all kind of just like rolled right in and
they got in. And that's the thing, they really got in. Like this is the distinction that has to be made, I think, when you talk about, because if you're talking about privilege, whiteness doesn't exist as a ethnicity, right? It doesn't have any meaning, but it does exist, of course, we know, if we're talking about privilege, right? So if we're talking about that, the Irish and the Italians are the groups that you always hear about.
Yeah.
Which, as I say on my podcast, completely proves the point that whiteness has no identity.
Yes.
If Italians, who are Romans, are not European, like, and if Irish people, who are the palest fucking people on the planet, like, are not white, it's not about skin tone and it's not about European. But having said that, for the rest of us, different communities have gotten closer and farther to that whiteness, right? And so for a lot of Jewish folks, who are very white passing, they've come as close as you can get.
Yeah.
Right. Like I call them off white. Like, cause in my opinion, like you can't be fully white if white supremacists want to kill you.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I completely agree with that. Like the thing with whiteness, someone I know, we were talking and they hit me with one of the, how you doing text messages, like right after some black person got killed, like no disrespect. I just don't remember which one it was. And
that's awful.
They like
hit
me.
It's not fine, but I get it.
They hit me. They're like, how you holding up? And I'm not a big person. See, you a homie now. So see, I'm going to be sending you texts like, yo, what's good, my G? And what happens is I was raised that you never ask someone how they're doing
unless you're prepared to handle the response.
Yeah, yeah, you got to be ready for the truth.
So, like, I
get in trouble with that. People don't want to hear the truth.
Yeah, I don't do the, like, oh, I'm okay.
I'm not going to be like, yeah, I'm cool.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you get me on a good day, I'm like, yeah, I'm cool. If you get me on that bad day, I'm going to be like, yeah, not so great. This. And then you're going to be like, what the fuck? What are we doing? I'm not prepared for this.
Yes, that's how I live, not just me. And they asked me, and I just hit them. I was like, yo, I'm in between furious, like, wanting to break down, kind of feeling okay, I'm excited, and yeah, I think I'm about to go do some reckless shit. And hit me with a little dot, 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 dot. Like, oh, like, what do I say right now? And the conversation ended up turning to a phone call. The text conversation turned to a phone call. And then they said something. I don't even remember what it was, because I just had hit a point where it was like, I don't want to hear anybody white. Like, it was a white person. I'm just like, I'm fucking tired of this. So I'm like, yo, tell me what it is. Tell me who you are. And I got like the realest response on whiteness I ever heard. Dude was just like, he said, I don't know. I'm like, what do you mean I don't know? He's like, no one fucking knows what it is to be white.
You can't ask them. They don't
know. And like, I like legit felt pain. Like, I felt empathy and pain for him. He's like, when I think about my history of like my people, white people, it's like all I see is destruction. And I was like, whoo, I'm glad you woke up right now. Like, I appreciate that.
It has no nourishment. It has no, like, this is what I didn't go this far on my podcast, because you got to do these things. I don't know. I was scared. I'm just trying to be honest. I was fucking scared, because I had a weird encounter that we could talk about. But, you know, and I was like, okay, I'm a little nervous about this. But anyway, like, it has no nourishment to give those people, because it's only a term. It's only an oppositional identity.
Yeah.
Because if you get a bunch of white people in a room, they're not white. Then they're like, I'm this much German, I'm this much Spanish. Then I walk in, then they're like, oh, we're white, you're not. Yeah, then you walk in and they're like, oh, we're white, you're not. You know what I mean? Like, actually, in my particular case, I don't get
it's like a parasite.
I don't get invited to the mayonnaise cookout that often. But
that shit is bland, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not particularly white passing. But although, as I said during a meeting of our Middle Eastern ERG, they don't hate me for the right reasons all the time. Like, sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't, because people just think, oh, I'm generically Middle Eastern, or I'm Mexican.
Yeah.
Or, so, like, they'll hate on me for various reasons that are not necessarily like, the correct reason.
Yeah, you don't got the actual one.
Yeah, sometimes it is, and then I'm like, oh, you hating for the right reason. You did it the wrong right. reason, but the like, right reason. At least you know what you're hating, yes, you know what I mean?
I'm a fan of people who are, like, explicitly racist, like you are overtly racist, like you let it be known.
Oh yeah,
I'm like, I'll fuck with you. Like,
that was cool about St. Louis, to be honest with you, because it was the most racist place I've ever lived, but it was open.
St. Louis is like that. So I have my homie Jay, she's a great comedian. Jay, she's from there. She's like, tell me stories. I've been there a couple times, and I was just like, I don't have a problem here. And my boy was like, what? I'm like, bro, we know where to go, where not to go. Like, we ain't never got to worry.
What's crazy to me about St. Louis, because I only lived there for 2 years, but 2 years is a long fucking time to live in St. Louis, as anyone from there knows. It is simultaneously the most, like, openly racist place I've ever lived, but also the most integrated. Like, because we live out in the Bay. Well, I live out in the Bay. You live in LA. But out in the Bay, it's like super segregated out here.
Oh, hell yeah. Like, I used to go to the Bay to visit my relatives up there all the time. And
it's wild.
From, I will say, just even from like early 2000s to now, I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
it's so crazy. It's so segregated. It's people getting pushed out for sure. But even like segregated inside, like, you don't see mixed friendship groups. Yeah. Like, you look at a table, everyone looks the same.
And they wear Allbirds.
Everyone has the same kind of job. Everyone's got on Allbirds. That's right. Everyone's got their tech backpack. It's not even not integrated in like a racial way, because it's not integrated in any
way. Yeah.
It's just a monoculture, and it's terrifying. And so, and I mean, San Francisco specifically, I live out in the East Bay, but like, and it's better. It's not as bad.
It's like,
put
it's,
it that
it's
way.
It's bad, but it's not as
it's
bad.
Got its own problems. It's got its own problems. We'll say that, but it's a lot more diverse. But like St. Louis, like, and because I went back there to visit, and I remembered this, but I took my wife back there so she could see it. And she was just like, I hate this place, but at the same time, goddamn, like, people are, every group we see is mixed. Like, every friendship group, it's like a little bit of everything, you know what I mean, in the group.
It's such a fascinating thing, because when I just think of stuff like that in places like that, I remember my brother got married in Virginia, and they got married
whereabouts?
In Manassas.
like Manassas, Virginia.
Yeah, that's not northern. We're basically DC. No, yeah, Virginia. It's that's like not Fairfax. Real that's, Virginia. That's legit Virginia.
Yeah, shout out to Sam and my new sister Katrina. I love y'all. And it was a beautiful, beautiful ceremony. And I'm driving. And I remember my pops like years ago saying, people be thinking like the South, the racist South is like Alabama, Mississippi. He's like, no, Virginia. He's like, that's where it is. Like Virginia, in North Carolina. He's like, that's where. And it didn't dawn on me. Like, we're driving and I'm out here by myself. Like, I just hop in the car, go. And I wouldn't say, it's not that I don't fear anything. It's like, I have fear, but it doesn't stop me from going.
Yeah.
And because I hate when people are like, I'm not afraid of anything. Like, motherfucker, shut up. Yes, you are. Like, because let me pull the pistol out. You could be like, oh, shit. You go get that feeling. Like, no, it's just that you don't let it paralyze you. So, and I'll just raise, like, you take a second. You ask why you feel this way. You assess the situation and then make a decision. I'm driving and I see this dude run across the highway. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, all right, shit happens. Like, I live in LA. I've seen weirder things. Like, keep going. And then I see another dude run across the highway, but then I'm peeping his outfit and he got like a musket in his hand and like this old uniform. And I'm like, yes. Wait, hold on.
Is it a Civil War uniform?
Yo. I'm like, all right. So now I call some of the homies and I'm texting people like, yo, hold on. I don't text and drive, but I was like, hell no, nah, I don't need to know what's going on. I send my group chat, my location. I'm texting other people. And then I just put some people on speakerphone that were like behind me. And I'm like, yo, y'all see that? It was like, yeah, we saw somebody drive. I'm like, no, damn, him running across the highway. Did you see what he have on? They're like, we didn't pay attention. So now we pull up again, keep driving, and I see a highway patrol officer. I'm like, you know, I don't want to do this, but my gut is saying you got to do this. I pull over, honk my horn, and like I get out of the car and just throw my hands up. And the officer gets out of his car, and it's a black officer. So I'm feeling a little bit less like, all right. So I'm like, nah, I'm still keeping my hands up, though. I'm still in Virginia. And he's like, yo, put your hands down, man. I'm like, nah. like, it's cool. Like, I ain't from out here. I'm from Cali. And he's like, oh, okay. So we start talking. He's like, what, you good? You need help? You lost? I'm like, hey, it's some people running across the highway. And he starts dying laughing. Like, I mean, I'm now feeling a little bit like, and my hands are still up right now.
Yeah.
And so now I'm feeling a little like, all right, feel like we have like a brother connection.
We're cool. Okay.
So the people who are also going to the ceremony, they like pull over too. And like, they get out. So we're talking to this cop and they see him laughing and he's not just like laughing. He's like,
he's
barely laughing, like letting it out. And you're just like, you did say you're from Cali, huh, man? I'm like, yeah. So then now my other homies are pulling up and we're like there. And he's like, I'm sorry, y'all. Like, they reenacted the Civil War. And it hit me like, what? Like, wait, they reenacting the Civil War? Like,
yeah, they are. I'm like, for sure.
And I love history. So, like, a piece of me, yeah, I'm me like, too. I'm going, like, I know.
In case you couldn't tell.
Yeah, I'm like, this shit ended, didn't it? Like, my brain's not. My brain.
Like, wait, we're not in it, right? Like, that was like a minute ago.
So, homie looking at me, like, he said Civil War. And we're all, it's like clicking for all of us.
But you didn't know about that. That's what's so funny.
Had like no clue. Like, I had heard they do these Civil War reenactments, but I had never like seen this happen. Like, I've known it's a thing. So
but it's different to see it.
He's like, look, I'm like, you know what, officer? I would feel much more comfortable if like somehow, some way, you could just like drive with us to where we need to go. And he's like, yeah, we got to hold off for a minute, though, about 5 minutes. Like, all right, cool, whatever. These motherfuckers come full-fledged running at each other, like shooting and stuff. And I'm like, so y'all preserve these weapons, first of all. Second of all, y'all got the uniforms. Like, and y'all really acting like y'all dead. Like, this dude's like really falling on the ground. Like, dude's like tussling. And I'm dying laughing. Like, I am laughing so hard now. Like, I am on the side of this highway crying laughing.
Yeah.
And the cop is laughing at me now.
Because like, they out here LARPing.
Yes, they really are. And then my homie's like, yo, this is the wildest cosplay shit I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And, I'm like, and they are like very dedicated.
So dedicated. So dedicated that. We go, we get to where wedding cool, come back. The next day, I'm like, I gotta just really see this. So I hit up my homie. I'm like, yo, we gotta drive back out there. We drive back out there. These motherfuckers camped out there. They had tents and stuff. They had cannons.
They go They go hard, man.
It blew my mind. I was talking about Pops. I was like, he was right. This is the most racist shit in the world. Like, you're right.
But that's the thing. It's funny as fuck. And my girl, like, my friend moved to North Carolina, to Asheville. She saw a black dude. But she saw a black dude fully in the Civil War outfit.
They can keep him. They can have him.
It's weird as fuck. But, like, here's my thing. Like, because, you know, my wife is German. And some of my family were refugees.
Okay.
And victims as well in my family. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that has been an interesting process with me.
Sure.
And I've spent a bunch of time in Germany now, which is like fucking weird. Cause like I'll have these like moments that are like, they're not logical and they don't, and I don't really even want to have them. But like we went to a soccer game. Like her cousin works for the team and
it's
her
football.
Brother.
It ain't soccer.
Excuse me. Yes. It's, well, it's Fußball in Germany, but
yeah,
we went to the game. And motherfuckers, so two things happen. One, and this is going somewhere, but I got to tell this digression first.
I'm winning.
Sorry, I know you know how that's how we talk. But
yeah, exactly.
I was going to the bathroom, and you know, I'm from Seattle and also the Bay, but I was raised like polite and like so. This very old man is trying to get into the bathroom, and I'm holding the door open for him because I'm like polite. And then I'm like, I have this moment where I'm like, oh. Open for this like old ass German, like really old German dude, you know what I mean? So I'm like, ugh, and I'm like, ah, fuck, that sucks. And then we're watching the game, and at some point in the game, like I don't know, what are the 80,000 people at a football game? Like, there's like they're all chanting the same fucking thing, right? It's like a soccer chant, right? Like that's what they're doing. It's harmless, but I'm like, I like froze. I was like terrified for like 2 seconds, right? Like because. I don't know. I was watching an episode of Anthony Bourdain's show, RIP.
Yeah,
me too. And he was like talking to a therapist and he's like, I don't like going to big crowd events. And I'm like, oh, me neither. And he's half Jewish. So I was like, what's his deal? And he was like, I just feel like if everyone's doing the same chant, it doesn't take that much for them to shift into doing the same something else. And then I'm fucking terrified. And I'm like, oh, I feel that in my bones.
That tribalism
I feel that so deeply.
Real.
That's right. So I'm like terrified. But anyway, in the process of being in Germany more and seeing like how they've dealt with the crimes against humanity that they've committed, which is not a perfect way, but is so much better than the way it's been done here.
Oh shit.
That I'm just like,
they acknowledge them out there.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm like, can you imagine if there were a bunch of motherfuckers recreating like the last stand of like the Nazis? Like, because I'm like, because you think about it, it's like, oh, Civil War. They just are like, you know, history buffs. They're anachronism. But no, you're recreating the defense of slavery.
Yes.
In 2020 or whatever year that was.
You're running with it. Like you still.
That's right. You're not ashamed. Because until people in this country, everyone, not just some motherfuckers, but everyone feels that sense of shame for those actions. Like feels that shame.
Yeah, you like, you know, have to. It's the only way. The only way to go about it. It's a thing with just struggle. Like, I wish that somehow, regardless of where you're born, how you're born, wealth or whatnot, like, there was some type of, like, life struggle that everybody just, like, had to do.
Yeah. I feel you on that. And that's why I'm, like, all these things, like, a lot of what we're trying to do right now is just make the invisible visible, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you've never experienced... It's hard enough to get people who have experienced one struggle to relate to a different struggle.
Yeah. Right?
Like, but if you have had, and everyone's had their personal struggle, we're not talking about individual struggle. We're not talking about, oh, my family was poor. We're not talking about, oh, I couldn't get my car broke. I was going to interview. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about like shit that you have zero control over that is like bigger than you, that's societal, systemic, that's in the air, that like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar said. Like, if you've never experienced that on any level, the invisibility is so overpowering.
Oh, and so it's like,
can we make that visible at all? And I've had these experiences where people who are really well-meaning, and like I do want to talk to you about some of this off mic, but like people who are really well-meaning, the minute they're actually asked to give anything up, and it's not even actually giving anything up, right? All you're giving up is your comfort.
Yes, that perception. It's to me, it's always been,
and they lose their shit.
Yeah, it's always been inexplicably tied to just greed. And
yeah, you know,
I always just put it to where I always think so much on how, like, I think of my grandma, like, that's Moji. Woman
definitely had the biggest impact in my life, period. And there's a thing that I would look at her. I never saw my grandma work, like a job, but I couldn't. It never made sense to me how, like, we would go to grocery stores and wouldn't pay for groceries. Because, like, she took care of the whole neighborhood. Everybody knew grandma. Like, she was grandma and everybody, or TT.
Yeah.
Or, like, and it was this interesting thing to where I remember she would say, she was like, if you got enough, and it's enough for you and your loved ones to be fine, to be okay. It's like, it takes nothing from you to then give that next person a plate. And because I would think, like, I can't think of a time at my grandparents' crib where it wasn't like 30 people in there minimum.
Right.
Like the door was always open. Like it was everybody had, it was just this weird thing to think like, yo, how is she able to see that? And I always tell people, my grandmother's the reason I believe in a higher power. Like she was a physical embodiment of like love, empathy, and like everything is like in her. And
dude, I feel
like,
you.
How like, yo, like how y'all not getting this? And I remember one day she told me, I was like grade school kid, called me a N-word. He had that hard R in it. I whipped his ass. And then like I'm talking, I remember my mom was like, I'm about to whip this boy ass. She's like, no, you're not. I'm like, good looking, grandma. I'm like, this is why you I know. And we sit down and talk. She's like, well, why'd you get mad? I was like, well, you heard what he called me. She's like, but do you even know what that word is? Like, what even made you mad about that? And I'm thinking, like, damn, like, do I?
I just know I'm supposed to be mad.
Yeah, like, I know it's anger. And she just said, she's like, something's been passed down to you that is a beautiful thing. And she was like, it's who you are. It's how you look.
Yeah.
She's like,
yeah.
The bad part about it is because of who you are and how you look, there's trauma and pain that's passed down to you that you will never fully understand. And she's like, that trauma and pain doesn't come from anything you did. It comes from one thing. It comes from greed. And I just always tied it to that. She's like,
damn.
She's like, the people, when you got here, before you ever were a thing, your people came here, were pulled here because of greed. She's like, there's no other way to put it but greed. And
no, that's so true.
And like, that's always stuck with me. Like, this has always been about money. It's always been about resources, me having to have it all, because that's the only thing that I believe gives me some type of value or meaning.
Well, and we have no concept in this country. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. Again, there's like three things I want to talk about. Because first of all, on that grandmother topic, like, you know, my grandmother, my mom's mom, Holocaust refugee, wasn't allowed to go to school after the time she was 13.
That's crazy.
Her husband, my grandfather was a literal slave. He escaped. Yeah, it's all this shit. So my grandmother, she came to this country. She worked in sweatshops. Like, you know what I mean? Like, all this real shit. And she was the most, like, generous, loving, like, every single person she met, she took into her heart. Like, her funeral was amazing. It was like people who had been in her life decades
are showing up. Like,
yeah, and I'm like, how did you see the darkest, worst, evilest parts of humanity and come out? I'm not this positive, and my life's been pretty fucking easy, like, comparatively. Yes. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I mean, I've had my shit, but like,
yeah, you know, like I ain't dealing with that.
Yeah, and like, and kind of similar when I had specific like. When I was 10, a kid I thought was my friend tried to carve a swastika into my neck with a penknife in school.
Man, I would have beat the brakes out of the kid. Me and the homies, we had the bully police growing up. So if you got bullied, we used to ride on the bullies. Like, we would definitely.
But like, she was the one telling me, like, you know, just.
Yeah.
Like, see the different, like, don't lose faith in people, like, believing. It's crazy to me, right?
Yeah, like, how are you defining this? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, where are you even seeing this? But the two other things I want to say was that, first of all, one quote back to the invisibility side, one quote I saw, I completely agree with what you're saying about the greed, and that's going to sit with me for a long time, and I want to say something about that too. But also, like, I saw this quote on Twitter a couple years ago that has stuck with me forever, or since then, I guess. When all you've known is privilege, equality feels like oppression.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I get it now. Mm-hmm. I get this now. But the other thing too is that, like, we don't have, I was talking about this recently, like, United States is so new. Like, we think of it, because people's memories are so short, we think of it as super old. This is a fucking young ass country. Yeah,
extremely.
Like, there were whole countries that were around for 900 years that we've never fucking heard of that are like, what the fuck? I just learned about the Republic of Ragusa You've never fucking, maybe you have, but I doubt it. You've never fucking heard of it. It was around for like three times longer than our country, right? So like all this kind of shit is like so legit. And I'm thinking the U.S. came around at a very specific moment in history. Mm-hmm. It came around after capitalism.
Yeah.
And unlike most of these other countries. So in Europe, which is fucked up in all of its own ways, don't get me wrong, but because their societies are way before capitalism, they have some moderating influences on it.
And a sense of community.
And that's the moderation, is that they still have a sense of community. So if you look at Germany, which is the one I know the best about for reasons we've already discussed, they have a concept in Germany that we do not have in the United States. I'm going to blow your mind here with this concept, okay?
I'm with it.
It's called enough. So let me explain this to everyone out there. Enough means that at some point, my life is good. I don't need more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm good. Like, more is bonus, more is cool, but I don't need it. So, like, my brother-in-law, he's got a good job. It's stable. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not going to lose it very easily. He's got a house. His kids are in a decent school. He can go on vacation once in a while. He could buy himself some new shit once in a while. He has enough.
Yo, that's beautiful.
And we don't have that here.
Because I'm thinking right now, there is an iPad. There is.
That's what I'm talking about. iPhone, there's always an iPad. There is
laptops. There's fucking desktops. Like, my whole.
I mean, you do work in IT and at a generous company, but
still, even thinking of that, it's just that thing to wear shoes. My relationship with shoes comes from one, my love of design, and at a point in time, I was homeless. And it was a thing where I'm just like, I will never feel this again. And then it turned into more. And it's reinforced. It doesn't stop
because we've been taught.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that notion of greed, that because the U.S. has the closest thing the world has ever seen to unmoderated capitalism.
Yeah, it really is. Because regulation is bad. People go,
because regulation is bad. Because greed is good. And, you know, I didn't understand these people for a long, long time. And I still don't really, but I tried to I like to try to figure out, because I think that most people don't think of themselves as evil, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone's the hero of their story. So if you're the hero of your story, you have to have a justification for what you're doing. So I try to figure out what the justification for people is, because it allows me to have empathy for them. Even if I still fucking think they're wrong, hate what they're doing, oppose it, I want to have empathy for, because I feel like it, in the cases where I do oppose them, it helps me better understand how to oppose
them. Yeah, yeah.
But also, I just like to see the humanity in people. Got that from my grandmother, right? So I try to understand, what these, hardcore white Republican men, what do they think they're doing, right? And to some degree, they're just fucking doing whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just wilding out. But, if you believe that we live in an actual meritocracy, if you believe this, it's not true. Mm-hmm. I want to say it at the outfront. Everything I'm about to say is not true. But if you believe that we live in an actual meritocracy, if you believe that anyone can achieve anything they want with any with only requiring more effort, if you believe that the primary source in life is to get as much shit as you can, then I can understand how you feel like welfare, healthcare, while these are all enablers to laziness.
Yeah.
You're wrong. You're wrong on every level of that Jenga tower.
And there's a million studies and papers that prove that shit wrong.
That prove that. But if you don't see any of that because you saw your dad or your granddad or whoever pull themselves up from their bootstraps.
Yep.
And you don't see that the bank they went into was happy to see them. You don't see that the neighborhood they were. My wife and I were living, the last neighborhood we lived in Oakland, my friend found the sell sheet for it. When that neighborhood was started, what were they advertising as being the neighborhood about? We would not have been allowed to legally live there.
Yo, that was in the 20s. Fucking Oregon.
They were bragging about it.
Oregon.
They were bragging about it.
Oregon had a thing. Yo, sundown blacks better not be here. And that shit was recent.
Oregon is mad racist.
Oregon.
Like I said, I grew up in Seattle. Oregon is wild.
Next level.
Seattle, Washington has its own share of problems, but at least we got Seattle. Oregon is crazy.
Oregon's next level. It's a lot. So much of this stuff is this thing and understanding how I will talk to anybody about it. I don't care who you are. If you down to just have an actual discussion, cool, we just go just have a cool conversation. And I always just ask why. I'm the minute, it's this thing, any ism or is racism, sexism, being sexist or anything like that.
Why? What's your deal?
Yeah, the minute you ask why, the shit just falls apart. It's the really, really worst Ponzi scheme ever. Yeah, y'all didn't even really try and mask it. And I appreciate that, but it's that thing where
talking to folks, I do my best to explain that, like, nothing's being taken from you. Like,
yeah,
like
there's the
no physical, like, I'm not taking shit from you.
That's true, of course. But poor white folks are like the freshman in high school getting put in the trash can by the senior. When they get to be a senior, yep. The cool thing to do would be like, let's just end this. We could be done with this. But instead, they're like, nah, I got put in a trash can. I can put someone in a trash can. Like, they vote against their own interests on the basis that they will someday be rich, and they want that shit to still be there. Because you don't want to be that first rich person who's like, oh, I don't get to do whatever the fuck I want? What the fuck is this shit?
That's so many people, like, and that's not even, that's just an American thing. Because it's even thinking how, like, the last election, I was just talking to different folks and whatnot, and I ain't gonna air none of y'all out. I'm gonna keep y'all names quiet. Like, I still love y'all. A few people were like very much like, I'm voting for Trump. And I was like,
you knew people who told you to your face, bruh, they're voting for Trump?
See, some of the relationships that I have, I love them because we got like a very, we keep it two Virgils with each other. Like, we stand straight
That's
up.
Amazing.
And it's the thing to where, shit, this podcast started with just me meeting someone that from the outside looked like we have total opposite views. And we end up learning, my homie Indiana Joe, we figure out like, yo, we got a shit ton of stuff. We're similar. We might look at it differently or want to tackle those things differently, but we on the same squad here. I remember them saying that to me, like, oh, I'm voting for him, all this like lesser evil shit. I'm just like, all right, peep game. Just one quick thing. You black. Just Google the Central Park Five. Like, just do that real quick, and that's all you need to know. Then I don't remember, like, where the, like, tangent went, but I remember just asking, like, why? Like, just why? Like, help me understand what this man has done that makes you believe you'll be able to effectively do this, be the president. Like, you can't be business, because you can't go bankrupt, like, 13
that
times.
That many times, yeah.
And then the real shit, someone said to me, it was like, nah, you looking at it wrong. He went bankrupt that many times, and he's still a billionaire. And I was just like, shit. He was like, he gets the game. He knows the system. Yeah. And I respected that and them because they were like, he clearly understands what the game is and he knows how to use it and he's playing it and he don't give a damn what nobody else thinks. And I was like, all right, cool. I respect you for saying that's why you could. Like, it's
horrible. And here's the thing about that, though. Here's the thing about that, though. He plays the game for him.
Yes, exactly.
He doesn't play the game for... Yes, you're right. He's great at playing the game for him.
Yep. Because...
like, he's made it very clear that he's only doing it for him.
Yeah, he don't give a fuck. It's that thing to where I also just... I only find it to be a very specific American thing. Talking to some other people, they were just saying that, like, well, you know, taxes go get increased and whatnot. And I'm like, motherfucker, you're not even in the tax bracket to be affected by this. Like, but I will be.
No one wants, but they will like, be.
Like, come
they
on.
Will be.
You will be for the last 15 years.
I know, but
you.
They will be, or their kids will be, or their grandkids will be. No one will be. I mean, they let one person up. Everyone wants to bring up like a Oprah or something. It's like, there's one fucking Oprah.
Yeah.
Like, what are we talking about Oprah for? There's one.
That's my thing with so much.
How many black billionaires are there? There's like five. I mean, I don't even know if there's that many. There's
maybe. I don't even think it's that many because it's that thing.
And the first one was the BET dude.
Yeah.
And that's like not that long ago.
Because that was something I was explaining to someone just about just with racism. I was like, just imagine this. It is in your economic best interest to have me be as successful as possible. Like, right. So I would think if you're a real capitalist, you would want me to be equal because I'm going to make more for you. They're like, what do you mean? Like, think of how insanely gifted and talented as a black person you have to be to make it. Like, and you have to be LeBron, Kobe, Jordan, Michael Jackson, fucking Quincy Jones, Oprah, Michelle and Barack Obama. You got to be that talented. Yes, oh, my hero. Like, you got to be that talented just to make it? And you still ain't really made it because now you're so far removed from where you came from, you start morphing into some other shit. Like, think of that. Imagine how many more LeBrons you could get. Like, there is only one LeBron, but just using him as an example, you get a Zion. Like, imagine how many y'all fucked yourselves out of by doing this bullshit, y'all. Like, y'all ain't really about this. Like, come on. And that has been something that's helped some folks that I know, some well-off folks go, oh, shit. Like, yes, motherfucker, because if you were really about this, you would be doing this to get this quad. So I always just see, like, it's greed, and there's just a sense of, to me, not having an identity. Like, you don't know who you are.
I think that's what it is. They lost their identity. They made their identity just about taking away other people's identities. They made their identity just about being better than other people. And that's not, to sustain that is so full of, I mean, you have to be constantly deluding yourself, deluding the situation, manipulating the situation. And as that started to fall apart, because it does.
The Ponzi scheme runs out.
Exactly. You run out of people to pass it on to. As that starts to fall over, it's like, well, now if you're a fifth generation, seventh generation American whose parents and grandparents married each other because there were no rules against that for y'all folks, like, you don't have that strong sense of any identity anymore. And you live in a country that has intentionally not wanted to create its own culture as much as possible. What are you left with? And then on top of that, you know, people are being like, oh, I don't want to be referred to as European. That's too broad. And it's like, but you're all talking about Africans. Yeah, like, it's one fucking country.
You're like, yo, what
the hell are you talking about?
I'm going to need you to pick one. Yeah. It is that thing to where it is that, because like, I don't know. I know black people in France, but they don't be like, I'm African French. They're like, I'm French.
No, they just French. Like, black people in England, where there is mad racism, yeah, are still more English.
Yes.
Than black people in the United States or in Canada.
Yeah.
Like, they're just Canadian.
Yeah. Like,
they're not like, yo, I'm black Canadian. They're like, no, I'm Canadian.
Yeah. Like, I'm so like, oh, American. I'm like, what is that? Tell me.
Yeah.
I'm like,
but
it ain't nothing.
Yeah.
Like, cause you didn't take the time to actually build something to make a culture that can become unique to this area. I'm like, you didn't. Cause
that's why I made a jazz history podcast for a while.
Oh, that's fire. I love me some jazz.
You should listen to the podcast. But I had to stop doing it because I got a job at our place of business. I don't have time anymore. But one very small thing that I did on that show that I never talked about, I didn't like make a big deal about this. I never said anything about it. I just did it. Was that I referred to every white jazz musician as a European American.
That's dope.
I didn't say shit about it, right? And this was a couple years ago, right? And like, I'm just like, I'm not doing it. Like, y'all gonna be referred to the same fucking way everybody else is. Like, everybody's hyphenated except you. No, you're gonna be hyphenated too. And I'm not giving you white because we're not talking about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, okay, cool. What the fuck is that? Like, that's the thing to where, like, black people, I will say, like, it depends on how long I want to talk or how much I want to type if you get African American or black. Like, I get to choose, goddamn it. And it's just this thing that just pops up and comes up. It's a fascinating ass thing just to see on how it comes about, because it's just like, what is it? What do y'all want?
Because blackness also wouldn't exist as a necessary identity if it hadn't been created by white people.
Exactly.
It's an opposition. It has a meaning now because black people gave it a meaning.
Mm-hmm.
But it was created purely in opposition.
Yeah, you get yellow, you get brown. Like,
yeah,
the fuck?
People were actual things before that. It's like, yo, I'm a Zulu.
Yeah, exactly.
Yo, I'm a whatever. You know, I'm this tribe, I'm that tribe. Yeah. Like, I don't give a fuck about.
That's why, like, I'm a big fan of nationality. I'm a big fan of like that, or I guess with the ethnicity, whichever one makes the most sense.
Yeah, like, we could have and this whole podcast could have been about Jewish identity, but that gets complicated. But for sure.
Yeah, it's like your identity is that thing, and just figuring out, like, me learning these pieces of me, it's made me go on this thing of like, I want to know about these cultures. It's like, I
well, you're my Jewish homie now, so
gang, we in here, man. Is it bad if I get like a Star of David or something like that? I don't know.
I don't think it's bad. like, I'll send you one.
Yo, I'm so with it. Like, it's just a thing where I want to know more. And then also, I remember my like grandma making a joke like years ago. She was like, "Woo, baby, you fucked." I was like, "What?" She's like, "You black and you a Jew."
Yeah.
Like, damn.
Because I keep coming back to like, and I'm not trying to make this about us at all because it's not about us, but, and it's a dangerous but.
Nah,
dangerous,
do it.
But I remember that Chris Rock, there's a Chris Rock joke that always stuck with me. I think it's from Bigger and Blacker. And he's talking about how after 9/11, he's like, people were like, fuck the terrorists. He's like, I'm cool with that. Then they were like, fuck the foreigners. And he's like, I started listening because I'm like, I know blacks and Jews are next. He's like, that train is never late. And I'm starting to see it because like George Soros is getting blamed for the protests.
Man, if these people don't get, y'all got to get more inventive. That's the shit with conspiracy theories that get me. Like, it's not that inventive. I'm like,
well,
this is not that good.
So when I was in college, and there's a whole longer story about this, but the KKK marched through my town.
Bless your heart, because they would have to kill my ass. They
made me stay in the women's center.
I would have took some.
They put all
me.
The minority kids in the women's center, which was crazy. It's the only time I was ever inside the women's center. That's definitely no dudes zone. But they're like, hey, just go in here.
We just need a spot.
Cool. But one of the things they did, so it was kind of a complicated situation. Like I said, I don't want to get into, I could get into the whole details, but at any rate, they dropped off, at one point they dropped off recruitment pamphlets, and I still have one. Someone gave me one that they picked up off the street.
I would have pulled up like, hey.
Well, no one saw them do it. They did in the middle of the night. There was one street in town called Whitman Street, white man. They hit that one extra hard with the pamphlets. But anyway, I got the pamphlet.
We go get them here.
The pamphlet was like a fact. And it was like explaining what they're about. Two people, they want to join them, right?
Oh, shit.
And one of the things that they said in that pamphlet, I need to go and dig it out. It's somewhere in storage. But was basically that the black people would know that they were inferior if Jewish people didn't manipulate them to attack white people.
Oh, shit. I didn't get that email.
Yeah. So it's like the idea here is that they think black people are stupid. They think Jewish people are smart. They think both of us are bad.
So they're like, they have to be working together. Okay,
the smart bad ones are manipulating the dumb bad ones to be against us. And it's like, huh, okay. So like, to your point, I don't know how much you know about this. Probably you do, but I don't know. The civil rights movement era was a very close knit prior to that and during that time, very close knit between Jews and blacks. And that's something, that bridge, which I've heard my elders come like be sad about so many times, like, well, I'll be up, you know, those conversations where your elders are just telling you about how shit was. And they're always like, ah, it's so sad. Like what happened was so upsetting to them, and not putting sides or blames or not.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of stuff to deconstruct in there. For me now in 2020, I'm like, maybe this is an opportunity to rebuild some of those bridges, because that's been something I've been trying to do.
I'm 1,000,000,000% dedicated to doing that. Learning this about myself, and then also seeing that I've always had a fascination in wanting to understand the Jewish community more from the sense of their sense of community that I particularly don't get from the black community. Me, just myself, I've never felt like I fit in anywhere. Mm. Like, nerdy ass kid. Yeah. Like,
you're a wizard.
Yeah, I'm out here just trying to be magical and stuff. And I'm growing up in Compton in the hood or whatnot. My mother's a police officer. My father has a colorful life. And I have cousins and whatnot in gangs. And to me, gangs didn't necessarily mean a bad thing.
Yeah, it's that Tupac idea, right?
I understand so much of where it comes from and whatnot. And like that
community.
Yeah. And there's certain gangs who are looking out for me. They, nope, you got to go this way. Nope, you can't be over here. Nope, protect them more than the police. Hey, yo, get your ass back in the house. You ain't going to this part.
The gangs have definitely gotten more people out the streets than the police have.
Yeah, for sure. That. Especially just people I know. Yeah. And it's like that. But then I didn't go to the public school. I went to the nice private school. But now I'm at the nice private school and I'm a black kid.
Yeah.
This is different. And then now high school or whatnot, the further I go to school, the better shit looks. You get a mind fuck every day. Now when I come back home, I'm back to like, look horrible, ain't no grass, yellow. It's like this thing where I never felt fit in anywhere. I was always other, even in my community. Like, oh, he read books, he read comic books, he over here talking about gold and I'm trying to learn numbers and just stuff like that. And it was just this thing to go, I've always been fascinated because I always saw the Jewish community as like a great blueprint for a black community. Yo, look at how these folks have just been constantly getting and killed. You can't really say we all stick together. We all ride for each other. We good. And then a friend of mine, I'll never forget, something happened to the car I had at the time, and Jewish guy and his pops like, mad cool. And he was just like, oh, just take it to this person's shop. And it was his brother. And another Jewish guy, and then we did that, and then I, like, wanted to do something else in my car. He's like, oh, just take it to this guy's shop, another Jewish guy. And it was, like, the whole, everything went in there.
Well, it's that Killer Mike episode, right? Yep. Like, how long does the money stay in the community?
And that's my big thing.
Yeah, and it was true. You get to that black part, and it's, oh, okay. But that was also intentional.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't think you can put that on people. I mean, look at Tulsa, right?
Mm-hmm.
They broke their own laws to tear that shit down, right? Every time it's come up, every time it's, you're doing things the right way, they tell you, oh, why can't you be like the Jews? Why can't you be like these days, East Asian people, right? Like we were the first model minority, the second model minority, right? If only black people would just be this. Yeah, but they're not going to let you do that, because the whole point here is to divide and conquer.
Yep.
And anytime a minority starts to come up, they just divide them off from black people.
Yeah, exactly.
Black people are the ones that don't get divided off. They just stay where they are.
And that's where I look at it as that, there's a thing where I think some people got to just say what they want out of it, and then we just work from there. Because I think a lot of it does come down to the ego, and there's just certain things that with this stuff that's happening, this movement that's happening, I'm very, very keen to the opportunist. I'm cool if you, I'm a black person. I'm trying to just get my show on the air. I'm like, yeah, get your money. You black, if a black person getting a check, I'm like, bad. And as long as you're not breaking and tearing us down and hurting it.
Yeah.
But just tell me.
Candace Owens in this situation. Ooh, but other than that, Lord, you good.
I do everything in my power not to give that woman any energy, but whew, piss.
I mean, some people never stop performing.
Yeah. She got the best tap dance shoes ever.
This is what I'm saying. Yeah. She's out there. She's doing her little.
And now it hits that point to where, okay, I got to talk to her. Just, I got to hear what you got to say.
But I feel if you actually got in a room with someone like that, I feel like the version of them you would get probably, they would be realer.
Oh,
it wouldn't be the version they're on TV with.
It would totally be that. And it would be a thing to where I would still do everything in my power. I feel like I'm good with getting people to still kind of reveal shit to me. And I would still do everything in my power to get to that point. To be like, why do you? Because to me, the only way I see it, I deeply believe very few people like her genuinely believe what they're saying.
No, they don't. They absolutely don't. You know they don't. This is their
brainwashed.
Like that John Oliver thing. They're just saying, they're just convinced that it's all a game and they're just saying what they need to say to make the money they want to make.
And but the thing with her to me is, I don't think it's all about the money with her. I know that's a huge thing, but there's something about her that just sticks with me. I don't know if it's like
from, it's even deeper.
Yeah, like it's far deeper.
Well, that self-hate is real, man.
Yeah, like that's what it is. It's that thing, because I went through it. I used to not want to tell people I was from Compton because I knew what would change. It was this thing where it's immediate. They go look at me this way.
I used to want to tell people I was Jewish.
Yeah.
That didn't really work for me because I'm mad Jewish looking, but.
It was like that.
Yeah. But then when I met my wife, she was like, why are you always talking about being Jewish all the time? I'm like, because I tried the other thing and it didn't work.
Yeah. And that's the thing.
Cause people didn't let me do that.
And now it's like, you got to ride. Somebody, I was talking to one of my homies and I, we love Kanye. Yeah, that's my guy. And it was this thing where Kanye on his Kanye. And someone was like, you still f*** with him? I was like, all right, look, relax. We're not doing the MAGA hat or anything.
Yeah.
What I respect is that this dude from the onset has said, you will not put me in a box. You will not just say black people knew the black man needs to do this. I respect that. Do I agree with it? No. What is he doing? He's also performing and he's going,
he's authentic.
That's my thing. Like he is clearly being himself. And I don't know what it is. You can't make crack music and then be talking about fuck with Trump. You just can't.
Yeah.
It just don't work that way. And it's that thing where people find it all. Donated to BLM and donated to Hillary's campaign and all that stuff. I never believed that this dude genuinely this guy. Like, I just don't.
No, he just does his Kanye
thing. Yeah.
Unrelated to that, by the way, what does Dave Chappelle hate so much about Ja Rule?
See, I'm so glad you said that because as the car carrying member of the Ja Rule for Life Club,
okay,
I'm going to break it down for you.
Yeah, please. I mean, I don't fuck with Ja Rule, but I don't have that level of hatred for Ja Rule.
I'm from the West Coast.
Yeah.
This is it.
Me too. We're both from the
West. We out here.
I was born in LA, actually.
Oh, where? You know what hospital?
Okay. This is where we got to get real.
Oh.
I was born in Fontana.
Oh. They was cooking meth around you.
We were there for one day. My mom taught at Pomona and my dad taught at Riverside.
That's fucking crazy.
We were out in East Side for real.
Y'all were deep in the sticks.
Yeah, I think we were living in Rancho Cucamonga. We were out.
Shout out to everybody in Rancho that I still know. I still don't visit y'all because why would I go there?
It's so far away.
It's ridiculous. But it
takes so long to get there.
You got Pac and Biggie, East Coast, West Coast, beef going down. Bunch of relatives and stuff because they're gangs and people get approvals and stuff to come.
Yeah.
You meet so many people, you're like, oh shit, that's Pac. Yeah, cool, neat. And then growing up in LA, like a celebrity is a celebrity. Oh, cool. They're here.
Yeah, LA is one of the places I've been to where people just don't care.
Yeah, it's cool, neat. Like, I see Laura Dern at Whole Foods like every goddamn time.
Yeah, you're at the juice place every damn day. Yeah, you're at my coffee shop. I don't really care.
It's like, cool, neat. But the thing was that Ja Rule, I'll never forget. I got to find his interview, but I remember he's on an interview and he's talking about, we out here, we running this. People should just love me, embrace me because I'm reincarnated Tupac. And I will never forget everybody in my crib, my grandma's house at the time. Everybody just
That's
stopped.
Like a record scratch.
Yeah, it was just.
Yeah.
Everyone. What? Like, hold on.
First
hold
of
on.
All, you and Tupac were alive at the same time. I'm going to say no, my dude.
It was head just nah, hold.
But also, there's no
Yeah,
Ja Rule has never.
You got on because Hov bless you, let you get on the track, and I'm just thinking like, did he really just say this? Like, no, he didn't. Okay. Like, why you can't just be you? Hold on.
Yeah,
and then he would run with it and say it a bunch, and it was just no, don't do that. Don't do that.
Okay.
Just say I'm Ja Rule. I understand what you're trying to do.
I did that one weak ass song with Ashanti. Kind of killed my career. Nobody really fucks with me anymore.
You do that, and then we all got this. I can only say me and just folks I know, like West Coast cats. We just this man just said that. I'm not with him. And then our savior comes, the one that we needed to bear this cross for us and shine this light on our deep dislike. I won't say I hate him because that's a strong word. Nah, you know I ain't gonna lie. I probably do hate Ja Rule. I ain't even gonna lie. I will tell you this. There are examples, and people that know me can give you these. Ja Rule has played in clubs and bars, and I have taken a knee.
Oh, wow.
It ain't happened.
Yeah.
I used to DJ in the past. I've had DJs play Ja Rule, and I know you don't ask a DJ. I've gone like, yo, bro, no. Come on. Why are you doing that?
Switch it up.
Like, why would... For real?
Ja's out.
Like, you don't yourself? Okay. You ain't got no Yeezy in your Serato? And it runs deep. Like, I don't do it. So that savior we needed was 50 Cent. Curtis 50 Cent Jackson came. What made it even better was that he signed with M, who signed to Dre. So we got the West Coast connection. And this one don't like Ja Rule.
I mean, 50 don't like anybody, but I mean, what's that one track where he goes on everybody?
How to Ride. Yeah. I remember when that came out. My family in the East was, yo, New York. You guys,
that's the joint.
That shit was so good.
Yeah. He goes at
that's
everybody.
That's what it was, at least for us.
Okay.
But then the thing with Ja came with September 11th happening. And you remember that?
Why else do I care what Ja Rule has to say? And I thought that was hilarious back then. But then I was watching 846 and he's just, do you care about celebrities? Does anyone care what Ja Rule thinks? And I'm like, wow, you are still, because Ja Rule has not been, I don't know if you watch Rhythm and Flow, but there's that moment in the, I love that show. There's that moment in the New York auditions where the one dude is, yo, Jada, I ain't seen you for a minute. Which is, this man is judging you. Probably not the move. But for Dave to still, 20 years later, just be like, Ja Rule.
It's so good.
That's hilarious.
Because I love that he pulled that back and it tied and connected for the fans who know him. But
Were there questions you wanted to ask on this, by the way? Because I'm realizing that at some point my son is going to need me to be a dad again.
All we got, let's see.
I want to do it. I feel like I talked to you literally all day.
Oh, when was the first time you had a PB&J sandwich?
Holy... I have no idea. I roll hard with peanut butter, but I'm not really a jelly guy.
Ooh, this is deep
I
shit.
Don't go that for... I don't like sweet stuff very much.
Ooh.
I just don't... I don't really like chocolate. I don't really like sugar. I like salt. Ooh. Like I go hard on some chips.
This
you know what I mean?
Interesting.
And it's all spicy food and salty food. That's my move.
How long do you think it's been since you had a PB&J?
Oh, decades.
Wow.
Yeah, and I eat a lot of peanut butter sandwiches. I'll put peanut butter with other things. My dad does peanut butter with cheese, which is wrong.
Yeah, but Pops is wilding.
That's his move. I don't know what that's about.
I just went on an acid trip, and I'm just grabbing
that's weird,
things.
That's some weird shit.
What kind of cheese, though?
I don't even know that he cares that much.
Pops is... My dad. We got to talk, bro.
Yeah. My dad's an interesting...
Yeah.
My dad's a whole interesting story, too. My dad's life story is full of details that if I told you all of them at one time...
Nah, man. As someone that kinda... with a pops who is equal... Yeah.
Well, maybe you wouldn't.
I'd be like, yeah, I get that.
I'll just give you one. My dad was the first person to climb this one mountain in the Sinai Desert.
That's dope.
I know. I was like, I don't believe you, Dad. And then he found a news story in Polish about
it. Sick.
I had to put it in like Google Translate.
Like, Pete, I'm about this shit, son. I does this.
We out here.
The only other question I have is, what is one country that you never want to visit?
Whoo. Oh, man. Because I have states I don't. I really have states I don't. But U.S. states, I mean.
What state?
Like,
I've been to
Indiana.
I think I've been to, I'm at 28 or 30, I want to say.
I've been to Indiana many times.
I've been to Indiana.
Indiana's the worst. Sorry to everybody in Indiana. You're all, I'm sure, lovely people. But like, oh, I don't like Indiana. But
I don't care for Larry Bird from there. He's a Celtic.
I mean, I'm a Sonics fan, man.
Like, I mean, you're not. So you could be any fan as long as you're not a fan for a Boston team.
Yeah.
Good. I still love you. Boston teams, that's some shit. I don't like nothing from Boston. I don't like Boston baked beans. I don't like Boston crab. Yeah. Boston
My dad grew up in Western Mass. He rocks with all that, but I never got into it.
I just can't. I'm a Seattle guy. Refuse.
But one country that I don't ever want to visit, man, that's hard because I like going to places.
Me too. I do.
I feel like I would go someplace and not want to go back.
Everybody got that place. One spot. There's this place, Camarose, something like that.
Camarose or something?
Yeah, it's like by Seychelles and somewhere else. Like,
yeah. You don't want to go there?
There's no fucking way I go there. No reason I would. Like, I just go to Seychelles. Mm. Like, why would I go here when I could just go there? It's way nice. Mm. It was just, I was looking at stuff and I was like, this shit looks stupid. And then I looked at Seychelles. Well, why would I?
When I was growing up, we didn't have a lot of money. But then my dad was unemployed a lot, but like as we got older, they started to come up and we got to the point where we could afford to travel places. Like when I was a kid, we would go, my dad's, like I said, he's a mountain climber, blah, blah, blah. So we'd go camping a lot. We didn't have money to go anywhere. Yeah, it was cool. We at least got out and did stuff. We got older when I was getting to be, I guess my early 20s, they started to come up and they were like, oh, we're going to go on like family vacations and we're going to pay for it. And we're going to go to another country. And I was like, what? Cool. But the way that they could afford to do it was my mom would just every year when she started planning it, she would just wherever nobody was going,
go there.
That's where we would go because that was the cheapest place to go.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Trinidad, which was tight.
Trinidad
but like,
is dope. I love
Trinidad is crazy dope.
Trinidad but and the DR.
When we went there, it didn't have no restaurants.
Yeah.
There's one hotel. And I'm not hating. It was amazing. I loved it. Yeah. My point is, we just went to places where they're, oh, you want to come here? Like, nobody comes here.
It's free.
I know now Trinidad's popping, but this was like 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. No one was really going out to Trinidad that much, as far as we could tell. We just go to all these interesting places. I got into this mode of, I don't really want to go where everybody else is at. And that's, I'm a contrarian in like all kinds of dumb ways, usually not even beneficial to me. I just got into this mindset where I just want to go where everyone go. I mean, I guess the easy answer is I would love to go to Yemen, but I'm not going to Yemen right now.
Yeah.
Right? Because they got a civil war.
Yeah.
I'm not going to Syria.
Kind of shaky ground right now. Yeah.
I would love to go to Syria, not going right now.
Yeah.
I guess that's my answer, but I want to go fucking everywhere. If I could go to every country and learn every language, that would be my superpower. I know you asked your last guest like what you think your actual superpower is, and this is not my actual superpower, but if I had a superpower, it would be to speak every language.
That's a fire one.
Yeah, because I just want to talk to
you. I just need to do Spanish, French, German, and Mandarin, because it's about to be a wrap.
My first language was Hebrew, so I speak that. And I learned German from my wife's family, because they don't speak English, because they like are all Turkish, and they speak Turkish and German in Germany. So I was like, her dad lives in Turkey. I was like, okay. Probably more useful to learn German. So
yeah.
I speak Hebrew and German, which is a weird combo if you think
about it. It is very, very interesting. See, yeah, I got to figure out. I don't know if Rosetta Stone works or Duolingo. I got to find one of these.
I do Duolingo. I put Duolingo. Rosetta Stone's good, but it's old good.
Yeah, I don't like that formal stuff. I want the real how to people talk. Yeah.
Duolingo. Here's my thing. If you just do Duolingo, because I went to Germany the first time and they were like, oh, okay. What's up? And then I kept going back every year, and there was one year where they were just, oh, this motherfucker knows what we're saying.
He gets
now.
It.
Okay. He's on different. Right. And all I did was I was on the train going to work every day, and I would just do 15, 20 minutes of Duolingo.
Yeah,
on
that's
way
my
to work
thing.
Every day.
Yeah, I'm
just like, that's wow. It. That's all I did. And I had a wife who I could talk to, so she would just help me, but mainly I just did Duolingo. You're not going to become, I make a lot of grammar errors.
Whatever.
But people can understand me. And I can have conversations.
Over time, it continues to improve. I appreciate it.
We went there for a summer.
That's lit. I appreciate you, my G. I appreciate you doing this.
It's the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Yeah, hey, Muggles. So look it. We got a couple options out here. Somebody said something about there's an article to like not give your black friends money because reparations, some weird thing. That is a lie. We are not a monolith. I will take every cent you have.
If you don't know what your black friends want, are they actually your friends?
Yeah, for real. I get paid in the Euro, gold, churros, Nike.
Churros?
Churros, my favorite.
I'm going to send you a Star of David. So.
Yo, oh my God. I legit will cry. I need a Torah.
Oh no, I'm doing
it. I got to start reading my joints. I'm about to get a phone. I'm learning all I can.
My grandfather's tefillin are right behind me.
That's right dope. There.
Yeah, he somehow got it through Dachau, so I don't really know how that vibe happened. But
people be making moves. When there's a will, there's a way. All right, look, Moses, we got a few things you understand. Y'all know Black Lives Matter because you listen to my black ass. You do not ever lie to short people. Don't lie to short people.
Okay.
They got enough that they're dealing with.
Okay.
It's like a whole Napoleon complex.
Yeah.
It happens. Short people, yeah. I love y'all. I'm thinking about a couple specific short people.
Black Lives Matter, don't lie to short people.
Don't lie to short people. If you trying to learn more and be like a better quote unquote ally, just maybe Google. Just Google allyship.
Or Bing or DuckDuckGo. Yeah. Like whatever.
Honestly,
whatever search engine you can
win. I say DuckDuckGo because people
I put DuckDuckGo.
People
yeah,
keep not understanding. Y'all giving all it to Google and Facebook. I still for Apple. Like something about Tim Cook. I mean, you know what, Uncle Tim, I know you on bullshit, but it's something about you.
He has an Uncle Tim vibe.
Yeah, he just seems he know that he still in this crazy capitalist system, but I don't want to be completely evil about it. Treat people as well as you possibly can. It's not that hard. Just help somebody smile. Just say hi to them. If you outside right now, you better have a mask on. Like, mask, because I will snitch. That's one thing. Snitching is against my religious beliefs, but I'm snitching if you ain't got a mask on. I'm full
go to
Karen.
The protest, but put that mask on.
Full Karen. Please take care of yourselves. Drink as much water as y'all possibly can. Stay hydrated. Look out for your folks. And to the white people that listen to this, please just do everything y'all can to just listen. You know how Laura Ingraham was like, shut up and dribble? Shut up and listen. Education and amplification. That's how we're going to make this better. And I just want y'all to live long and prosper. All right, y'all, stay jiggy and swerve.